I just got back from a trip, and you guys are both about to leave on trips.
Yes, I leave in a few hours after we're finished here.
Tomorrow morning.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I was gone for 4 days to Red River Gorge. I've told you guys about Red River Gorge before.
Where is that? In Colorado?
No. It's in Kentucky. It's on the eastern side of Kentucky over past Lexington. So it's about 2 hours from where I live, and it is an entirely different world from where I live. Beautiful, awesome. It's just, you know, a gorge, so it feels like you're in the mountains, but you're actually down below. Man, there's like all sorts of stuff to do over there. We were there. We have a fall break. Our kids have a fall break, like a spring break. So it's a week off of school. And so we took 4 days and got a little cabin over there. I wasn't sure how the weather would be, so I didn't want to camp because I was afraid it would be cold like it is right now. But it was actually perfect. It was like 70 degrees every day, sunny. And so we had a little cabin. We did a bunch of hiking. We did some underground kayaking, which was pretty crazy.
Sounds dangerous.
That sounds fun.
It was cool. I'll send you guys a picture of it. But it was an old limestone mine that was in service for years. And then they broke into an aquifer at some point in like the 70s or 80s or something like that. And it started filling up. So it filled up to a point. But then I couldn't figure out why it didn't continue to fill up all the way. And so the guy told me that there's a certain amount of evaporation that happens because it doesn't spill out anywhere. It just, you know, fills up. And there's a certain amount of evaporation that happens in the summer and the winter. It's different. But you can see on the wall two lines, like where the water level is one line. And then the other level is about a foot up or 2 feet up or something. And that's the summer height. And so it evaporates just enough to keep the water in that certain little level, which means you've got, I don't know, 10, 20 feet of headroom in the entire place. And so you can kayak through there. And
it's not
a natural cave, so it's not, you know, there's no low spots. It's really even, wide.
Oh, because it was a mine.
Yeah. The bad thing was there's not a lot in there because it's a mine. So
How deep is it? Is it only 10, 15 feet deep or less?
No, in some places the water is like 30 or 40 feet deep.
Whoa.
But then some places it's 3 feet deep, you know. Yeah. It just depends. And they have lights down inside the water in certain areas, these really bright fish lights because they've added fish to it. So there's rainbow trout in there that are 36 inches long.
Wow.
Huge. Apparently that's way bigger than rainbow trout are supposed to be.
Yeah.
But they put trout in it a few times, rainbow trout, and then last year they put in two other species of fish that I don't know anything about them. They're just other fish. So you can kind of see some fish, saw a few bats. But the coolest part was that it's dark, and we were in clear kayaks, like clear acrylic kayaks with LED lights in the bottom. And so when you get in, they ask you what color you want, and they set your color of your LEDs, and then you are lighting the area around you. And you have a headlamp and stuff too, but it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Bob, when you do a trip like this, are you carrying a GoPro? Are you filming stuff? Are you trying to, are you just like, nope, that's it, check it out?
No. I mean, I'll pull up my phone and get some shots just for us, but I never try to do anything with it. It's just for us.
Right on.
Yeah. I started to do that when the kids were little. Not for content, but
just for posterity.
Like, yeah. But then I found that I was spending more time, like, I would go into work mode and, like, think too much about what I was capturing and not actually being there. And so now occasionally I'll pull out and grab a couple quick shots and then just put it away and just be there. And it's much better to do that for me. So, but we did kayaking. We did zip lines over the gorge, like 5 zip lines. And the longest one was 1900 feet. This is very long. And the highest one, I think it was like 300 and something feet off the bottom of the gorge. So you cross the gorge from top to top, and the ground just disappears from underneath you.
I would never do that ever.
It actually wasn't scary, because I've noticed as I get older, when I do things that are height related, I'm not afraid of heights, but I start to feel kind of, you know, woozier than I used to feel at that. And so I was kind of going into this one thinking, like, I wonder if this is going to, like, make me feel weird. And it didn't at all. You're completely strapped in, harnessed, helmet, you know, you're hooked, you have two carabiners to two lines all the time. Like, it was cool.
Kelly used to love going zip lining, and there's places all over like mid and southern Ohio to go, and I had never gone. And she's like, oh, you'll love it. It's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, we finally went ziplining this place to the east of Cleveland. And I loved it. But for some reason, Kelly did not like it anymore. Like, as she got older, she had no, there was a lot more fear involved. On our way, we stopped by Cedar Point because it was right on the way. Cedar Point's a big amusement park in the area, and I grew up like 40 minutes away from Cedar Point, so I went a lot as a kid, but I never really enjoyed roller coasters, and I had not been there since 93. Kelly hadn't been there in like 20 some years. So we stopped there, we rode two roller coasters, and we're like, you know what, as 40 some year old adults, we don't care for roller coasters. And then it turns out Kelly didn't care for ziplining either.
Yeah, I mean, it changes for sure. Yeah. Like, I know I don't enjoy, I still like roller coasters, but not the same way that I did before. Like, I feel them a lot more. You get off of them, you're like, oh, okay.
I haven't been on a roller coaster in 20, 30 years.
I just don't, there's better ways to spend my time instead of spending an hour and a half in a line to ride something that feels like it's going to kill me.
Yeah, yeah. Earlier this year, we went to this, we were in St. Louis for a soccer thing, and there was like a climbing ropes course kind of thing. It wasn't climbing, but it was like this big contraption with all these different things. And you put on a harness, you hook in, you've got these like two clips, and you can never get them both unclipped at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was actually a really cool system. We might have talked about it. But you're climbing around this big, giant thing. It's like four stories tall. And there's stuff on every level, and there's like a bike that's suspended on a wire, and so you have to like climb onto the bike and then try to ride the bike across the wire. And there's steps that are really far apart and super wobbly, and you can't fall. I mean, there's like literally no way to fall.
I'll be in my shop if you guys need me.
Yeah, but so I went on this thing with the kids, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun. This is all like obstacle course type stuff, and I get up to the top of it and tried to get on that stupid bike, and I was like, nope, this is not how I want to spend my time.
Doesn't
it just
feel
felt
right.
So bad. Mm. Whereas it used to feel fun. It was a totally different thing. So I did some of the stuff, and then I was like, hey guys, I'm just going to stand up here at the top and watch you guys have fun. I'm just going to hang out, and you know, like as soon as we can be done, I'll be done. It was weird, but yeah. Anyway, so we did that this week. We traveled and did some hiking and ate some really good barbecue and pizza and stuff. You know, it was a good time.
It's everybody. You don't have the oldest yet already bailing out saying, I'm going to go do something with my friends.
No. This was, well, they would have done other things if we'd given them the chance. But this was one of those like this. Mandatory. And we actually realized on the trip that this is our last. Their kids are not out of high school next year, but this is the last time we won't have an obligation on fall break. So it's the last time we get to take a trip like that with all of us for fall break. You know, we can still do it other times, and that's kind of weird to think about because we're entering a point where next year, certain kids will be on certain soccer teams that are going to have district tournaments and region tournaments and all that stuff this week. And it happens this week every year. And so it was a strange realization to be like, well, you know, this is the last one. We'll just have to find other stuff to do from now on. But so it was good to have everybody there, though, for sure. But that's in the past. You guys have cool trips coming up.
Mm.
You're going to Sweden?
I'm going to Sweden.
Oh, by the way, sorry, I know I asked you a question, then I interrupted your answer.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us a message asking you about the event that you were going to, and I have not... You responded to me, but I have not responded to them. So go ahead and just tell us all the information.
Lagersol Sawmill in Sweden. It's in a small town north of Stockholm, I think. I couldn't pronounce the name. I could look it up before the end of the episode. But this small town is hosting this event, and it's all about timbering, tree cutting, and cutting down trees, and It's I'm checking out a lot. I can't even think
you know
of the
a lot
proper,
about it.
Yeah, it's all about wood.
No, it's about cutting trees, timbering, hatchet, speed, endurance. I think it's just a big hangout having pertaining to do with sawmills and cutting down trees.
Is it like one of those competition things as well?
I think there's going to be some of that. It's not really what it's about. It's not like an Olympic event in that way, but it's more of a hangout. From my vibe, I get it's kind of like a... It's probably like an annual meeting that this company has just to celebrate their influencers, because I'm going to be there with several other European and maybe a couple of other Americans. So it's going to be just a fun hangout. And for me, my experience is going to be looking at all the sawmills that I get a chance to see up close and personal and see how they go together. I'm in the process of assembling, maybe since we got together last, I got a sawmill in shipping. It came in several pallets, very heavy pallets. They all were put together. They were all delivered to my commercial shop on Main Street. And then I put them on a trailer. I broke them down. It's funny. When you get something delivered, you got to devote like 2 or 3 hours to just taking the pallets apart when it's something complicated like this. I threw out, a couple hundred pounds of cardboard that wrapped around everything. Everything was in cardboard. And not to mention, obviously, all the parts were heavy. It's a 20-foot long sawmill that was broken down into 1 meter long tracks that get bolted together. When the tracks got bolted together and the framework and everything is somewhat put together, I still have to put the legs on it, and then I have to assemble. The gantry is already in one piece. It goes right on top, so the gantry with the blade on it, but then it has to get the motor added, and everything is in pieces. And I opted for the hydraulic version, which it looks like putting an airplane wing together. It's crazy. There's all types of hydraulic hoses and boxes, and look, I'm going to enlist some smarter friends than me to help put it together when it comes to that section. So there's, you know what's crazy? I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what happened to the instruction manuals, because I want to take them on my trip. No, I just had them right here, and I was wanting to take them with me to study them when I fly.
They're probably in that pile of cardboard that you got rid of.
So what else is there? We're going to Stockholm. Rachel's coming with me, so I don't get lost into the ether. She's well-traveled, and she knows how to do all this stuff. If it was me alone, I would go there, and nobody would ever hear from me again. I'd just become a homeless man on the streets of Stockholm. So we're gonna fly into Stockholm and fly up to where it is and then take a train back, and it sounds like very complicated. But it's all going to happen within the next 6 days. I'll be back here ready for the podcast next week, so it's going to be a whirlwind of a trip. But besides that, I just finished Maker Camp. We just finished Season 6 of Maker Camp. Season 6. The 6th annual Maker Camp we just finished, and it was a lot of fun. The biggest one so far, and by many accounts, the most organized. So it didn't seem chaotic. Everybody's saying, is there more people here, or is it just more organized? It seemed like it was more organized, and there were definitely more people here. It didn't seem crowded. It was just reason why. People are like, are there less people here, is what the question was. I said, I don't really know. I'm not privy to those numbers, but ultimately, there's a metric that Austin mentioned to me, and he said we had about 300 more people than we had last year, which is pretty crazy. And then all in, it's about 1,000 plus people, 1,000 and change. And it was a really good event. A little bit of rain, which puts a little bit of damper on stuff, but the spirit is, let's keep moving, let's have fun. You know, so the day trippers probably curtailed the day trippers because we had rain on Sunday. But all the little annual aspects of it, like Sunday afternoon barbecue, went off well, and Thursday, Friday night karaoke was fun, and I had a pizza party here at the house. Everybody in the world walked through my shop. I just told everybody, I said, just go to the shop. Everyone's like, can I get a guided tour? I said, you know where the door is, just go. I'm across the street from the milk run, just go and walk through. And hundreds of people, look, when they go to the milk run to get coffee, would come and walk through my shop. Nothing got stolen, and everything was in order. So there you go. So I said, just go to the house, don't steal anything. And my new leather shop was a big feature because Patrick showed so much of it on Instagram. Everybody wanted to see it up close, and it was a really, really sweet weekend. We had a really good time, made some new friends, a lot of new people this year, a lot of new people. And I don't know what else to say. You got to come next year. Everybody's asking about you two. The question everybody says to me is, do you ever think Bob and Dave will come to this? They ask it just like that. They go, do you ever think sure about that? I'm doing that character. Do you ever think Bob and Dave will come to this? I said, you're going to have to ask Bob and Dave. You sure about that?
You have to have it at a more convenient time. It doesn't work out.
Yeah. Conveniently.
Conveniently. Everybody. Yeah.
I said, I don't know, unless we bring the event to those guys, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just the time of year for me. It's always going to overlap birthdays. And
well, what's going to have to happen? And I know once in a while your children might listen to this. One of those birthdays is going to have to be celebrated at Maker Camp at their own choice, and you're going to be like, no, we're going to run up, okay. And you're going to have to go. Your child's going to be old enough to make the decision on their own to have Maker Camp birthday.
I mean, I've thrown it out there. It's not like I'm holding that back as an option. Maybe they're just not interested.
No, it needs to be. If it was in September, it would be a totally different thing. The past few years, I've gone to Fid Summit, and it's always at the same time. This year, I didn't go, but this year, I am. Tomorrow is our 10-year wedding anniversary, and we're taking off to Austin. So I wasn't going to fly to New York and then fly to Austin from there. And yeah, that'd just be too much. So it's always the timing. And yeah. I celebrate Bob's birthday as well. So
Bob's birthdays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you guys will surely miss. So we had a lot of new things. We had, what do you call that when you dip an end page in a book where you do dipping and you have those beautiful swirls, like hydro dipping. There was a really cool girl did hydro dipping on scarves. We had full on stained glass this year. We had full on hat making, which was a huge hit. So you get these big round discs of felt and you turn them into a hat. That was really, really cool. The hydro dipping, even though it's so simple, that makes such beautiful results. There's some really good results. You go in the tent and they're all hanging. We had the restoration station where you come in one side and you pick a hand plane out of the pile. They're all donated. And you pick a hand plane, and by the other side, it's razor sharp and ready to go. You take it home with you, and you could use it. Those hand planes you see at flea markets and garage sales, which look worthless, you take them, and there's a team of people that teach you how to use them. Pat Lapp came. He was doing turning demos. And the guys at Highland Woodworks gave me an incredible slab, burly, beautiful slab for the leather shop. Because everybody comes with a bunch of stuff they don't always want to leave with it. So those guys donated that to the shop. And what else? Highland Woodworks in New Hampshire. Highland, so they make custom slabs. I'm trying to think. I'll come up with more. But everybody is fun. You got the guys, the whole knife making crew is there. And the guys from Ameribraid came this year. If you guys ever had, you guys have Ameribraid grinders.
Do you have one? Thing's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they are such innovators. Kevin and Eric stayed with me. They stayed in the horse barn. They stayed upstairs. I have a kind of a bedroom set up now. So they stayed in the horse barn. And I don't know if you saw the stories. We made this. Last year at Maker Camp, they sent this crazy laser cut UFO. And it was a UFO fire pit that Eric designed. And this year we got to make it. We welded it together in my shop. And we played with that. Now it's in my yard. It looks like a UFO landed in my yard. Eric and Kevin have a laser company as well. So because they spent so much time developing products and they bought everything they need to laser cut metal to do their own prototyping. So now they have a laser service. Huh. You have any ideas, you send them, they laser cut metal, they bend it. They have all kinds of, they have everything available and all their competitors, they have it there as well. So if anybody has any laser services for metal, bending, fabricating, all that kind of stuff. HD laser service. And so that was great to hang out with those guys. We innovated, came up with some ideas. Who knows what's going to be in the future, but they're really interested in doing new products. And what else? I don't know. I'll keep thinking of stuff. And then FabTech is on right now. I did not want to go to FabTech. It's so close to. And then I also had to go to this other event. So FabTech's going on right now. Chris Zepp and Derek are down at FabTech, so I'm interested to get the gossip when they come back, see what's going on with companies.
Yeah. The gossip.
The goss. What's the goss?
So, David, you're doing the F1 race.
Yes.
Any other big plans in Austin?
Well, tomorrow is our 10-year wedding anniversary, and that's when we're flying out. And so we've got dinner scheduled at a fancy restaurant. Most of our plans.
Tacos? Tacos?
Not until we hit 1 million subscribers.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
And how soon is that? That's got to be close for you.
No, it's going to, it's like a year and a half out. Okay.
Let's make this happen, everybody. Everybody get your kids and your grandparents to
So many of my Patreon supporters, I'm like, you got to have a taco while you're in Austin. You're in taco country. And I'm like, not yet. I'm just looking for reasons to not eat a taco, I guess. So the way that F1 weekend works is on Friday, you have practice. Saturday, you have qualifying. This year, they have what's called sprint races. So it's like a mini race. And then Sunday is the actual race. So it's a 3-day event. We have passes for the whole weekend. We don't know if we're going to go to all the events there because it is our 10-year wedding anniversary and we want to do stuff, which mostly revolves around eating at fancy restaurants. I like eating.
That's cool.
Kelly's been to Austin before and she said there's some crazy awesome bookstore that I need to go to because I'm a used book junkie. So I'm probably going to have to find a FedEx station afterwards.
Oh yeah.
So that's the plan and just really, really looking forward to it. So if you don't know, every year we retire our wedding rings and I make new ones. We've been doing this for 10 years. And last year I didn't make a video on it. I just wanted to remove the pressure. And I have never been on time with the rings. The only year I've made them on time was the year we got married. Ever since then, I have been late every single year. And so to take the pressure off, last year I didn't make a video and I was still late. This year I wasn't going to make a video again, but I needed a quick little win to get the video shot before taking off so I wouldn't have to worry about work while there. So I shot a video of me making the rings, and Kelly doesn't even know this yet. So tomorrow night at dinner, I will present the rings to her on time for the first time since we got married. And I made a video about it. And I think the story of the video is going to be like how we met and progressed over 10 years. And I'll probably shoot a couple little things at the race in Austin over the weekend to close out the video. But that's, I've been trying to reduce the pressure. I feel nothing but pressure all the time. And I've been trying to reduce that. Mm. And it's funny. I shot the ring video to reduce other pressure. And this is the time of the year where I don't know if you guys are experiencing this, but sponsors come knocking on the door for November and December. And, I've taken on these videos because usually January through May, you get no sponsors. So I've taken on a bunch of sponsors for the next couple months.
They must not have my address.
So it's going to be a hectic 2 months when we get back from our vacation. Mm.
I have to make like 4 videos in the last week of October when I get back, maybe 3. Yeah. I have so much as soon as I get back.
Sounds like they know your address.
No, these are old ones. These are old. These are old sponsors.
So, yeah. And I forgot where I was going with that, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's cool. It sounds like a good trip.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy myself.
Go ahead.
I've been a big F1 fan basically since the Netflix show Drive to Survive started like 5 or 6 years ago. That's what got me into it. And it just happened to be at the same time I got into go-karts. And so I've been an F1 fan for like 5 or 6 years. I've also done like deep dives. So I've purchased the F1.tv subscription so I can go back and watch classic races. I know the history very well now. I've done a lot of watching over the last 5 years. Kelly would be in the room over the last couple of years when I would watch, and she would know the names, but she wouldn't pay attention. And then she was like, well, since we're going to the race in October, maybe I'll watch the Drive to Survive series on Netflix. And she watched the whole series. And now, so for the last, so this year she has been totally into it. She knows all the news stories. I don't pay attention to any news during the week, real news or sports news. I try to avoid all of that. So Kelly will be texting me like, did you know there's rumors of so-and-so going to such team and whatever. So she is 100% into it, which is really cool that we're both big fans.
Yeah, that is awesome. So you said something a minute ago that actually made me think of a question. So you made the new rings and she doesn't know about them yet. And then you said you also made the video for it. So for both of you, do your ladies watch your videos?
Yes. Most of the time. She doesn't always know what I'm working on. Usually she does. She didn't ask this week. So it was just kind of, if she would have asked, I would have said, hey, I'm actually making the rings. I'm going to have them on time. But she didn't ask this week. But yes, she usually watches. And she doesn't have YouTube Premium, which drives me nuts. So she'll be watching the video on her phone, like sitting on the couch, and I can hear it. And then I'll hear an ad pop up. I'm like, that's not my ad. And it's so weird when you have YouTube Premium and you don't experience the ads, and then you watch somebody else. It's like, it's cringy.
Yeah.
Rachel watches every one of my movies. I screen it to her before I publish it, just to get her.
That's a great exercise.
She is really, really into filmmaking, and she's watched every film ever made, and she watches it from an art critic's point of view. And so it's good to get her two cents. And she's like, it was slow here, it was slow there. Her constructive criticism is always very good. So I appreciate that.
What about?
I ask because Jenny does not watch.
She does not watch. No,
no.
She used to listen to the podcast. I don't think she listens anymore.
Yeah, we were talking to somebody the other day, and we were having like a group conversation, and somebody asked me what I was working on, and I said that whatever I was doing, and Jenny was like, oh, that sounds cool. And it was funny because everybody looked at her like, you didn't know what was working on? She's like, no.
My father-in-law listens to the podcast. What's up, Kurt? And so we'll have dinner with them like once a month or so. And he'll bring up something. I'm like, how do you know about that? I'm like, oh, yeah, you listen to the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents listen as well. They'll often ask me about things that I said or whatever. So that was one thing. The other thing is actually a little bit more of a potential topic, maybe. So you said you've been trying to find ways to relieve the pressure. And I find myself in the same place, and that pressure is not one pressure. It's several different things from several different perspectives. But I'm curious, I don't know, can you talk more about that? Like maybe what that pressure is for you specifically and how you're trying to relieve it or... And maybe it's not public.
It's totally public. It's deep. It's a lot of pressures. And it also feels weird talking about it because I basically have my dream job. And it feels like, well, I shouldn't complain because I have my dream job and I make enough money to pay all the bills and have the things that I want. So, but there's the pressure of, and this has been building up over 10 years, you get into it because you're making the things that you want to make, things that you need for the house. And then you get a little bit of success. And then what happens is you're like, oh, that type of video worked. I'm going to do more of that type of video. So now you're making things to please the algorithm, to continue that success, because that's what's working. And now it is your living. And then after that builds up for so many years, I would just find myself like, I'm not making the things that I really, really want to make, or I will, but then I'm reframing it in a way that it's YouTubery. And something snapped. Yeah, YouTubery. Something snapped in me, you know, like 5 months ago. I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. I've gone to all these YouTube conferences over the last years. I've had, I paid for like guru classes that I've gone to, and they basically all teach the same thing, is how to basically how to please an algorithm and how to please your audience, which is great if that's what you want to do, if you want to be a YouTuber. But it felt like, and I've been talking about this forever, is I want to be an artist. And if I keep doing if I keep going along the same path, I'm not going to be the artist that I want to be. So, I want to reduce the pressure of trying to be successful and try to make the things that I want to make. There's other pressures like you mentioned, but that's like the main one. That's the thing that snapped at me a few months ago. And so I'm like, okay, I've taken chances in the past and they've worked out. What if I just take a chance and I just make the things that I want to make, and I remove the YouTuber hook, and I'm going to make this thing and there's nothing special about it, but I'm going to make a video about it because it's the thing that I need. Or I'm going to make this thing. Generally, the woodworking audience doesn't want to see art pieces, but I'm going to do that anyway. And so I've been doing that, and I've been slowing down the videos, and I've done this different editing style, and the comments for the most part have been absolutely amazing. Like, these are your best videos. These are great. This is why I want to watch you. And of course there's other people that say, oh, I miss the humor and all that, but I am enjoying the process of making videos a lot more now. I think it's maybe my last 10 videos or so, where I'm not mic'd up anymore. I don't wear a lav mic, and I just have the mic on the camera. And now it doesn't feel like I'm performing while making the videos. It feels mm-hmm. like I'm working, I'm concentrating on the thing. So I'm not talking to the camera. I only do voiceovers now. Every once in a while, I feel like I need to explain something, so I will mic up and I'll explain it. But most of it is done in voiceover. Or or I will shoot scenes in my office here, cut to me talking about it, just to kind of move things forward and explain things. But I feel so much better about the projects now, because that's now great. I'm not doing two jobs. I'm just doing the single job, and I'm making the thing that I want to make. And you know, people are saying, you know, I miss the humor. I miss the banter between you and your brother. I'm like, I'm sorry. I just don't feel like being funny. I feel like making the things that I want to make, because I have this bigger goal. And man, the views are way down, and I'm okay with that. Next year, I'll probably have to figure out better streams of income, whether it's Patreon or maybe it's more merch, or maybe I actually sell things. Maybe I start taking on commission projects, but I feel better about what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, that's, I feel a lot of the same feelings for different reasons, I think, but it's really interesting to hear. The thing that we've been talking about, we had a big conversation about it yesterday, was about what success is. And I think it kind of plays into that same kind of thing, where you've found that success for you is not about the views. It's not about necessarily like ad revenue. It's not about, you know, certain types of growth over video. It's about you doing the art that you want to do. And if you get to the end of the video and the process and you've got that art, and like, that can be the measure of success. It doesn't have to be a view count. It doesn't have to be, you know, subscriber growth or whatever. And we were talking about that yesterday, because this last Gia video that we did, I think it was a cool video, but it didn't do well. And it just, that always throws me off, because I get this input from people saying, like, where's the Gia? Like, you know, we want to see more about the Gia. And then you do that thing that people seem to be asking for, and then the views don't add up to what you would have expected. But that's all weird assumption that doesn't even make any sense. Like, you can hear two voices and it sounds like a lot of voices. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a lot of people asking for it, but you hear someone asking for it, so it feels like there's an appetite. And so anyway, we got this video out and it just didn't do well. And I'm like, how do I move ahead with doing car stuff? Because I really am interested in it, and I have a lot of things I would like to do, but it's just hard to justify, because it feels like each one of them fails a little bit more. Each one of those videos does a little bit worse. And so coming back to what you said, I want to go that direction. at least some of the time. But the low views make it feel like it's a failure rather than switching what my view of success is, in that the car gets moved further along every time I do one of those. That's actually success. That's progress towards a long-term goal that actually doesn't have anything to do with how many people watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a balance there between me being able to justify the effort and the cost and all that stuff to make that video, and, you know, it being paid for itself by a sponsor or by ad revenue or whatever. And so, you know, there's a balance there. But I have to constantly fight that thing that it sounds like you're not actually having a lot of trouble fighting, is this is my goal. Like, this is the thing that I actually care about, and I'm going to put that out front, and I'm going to chase that rather than always, you know, measuring that goal against how something performed. I'm still in that place where I'm trying to figure out that thing that it sounds like you're getting, which is super cool. I'm glad to hear that.
There's a... Yeah. What is not being said is the struggles. It still feels like a failure. YouTube gives you, every time you put out a video, YouTube gives you a ranking on what that video is doing compared to the previous 9 videos. So if it's a 1 of 10, that video is performing the best out of your last 10 videos. If it's a 10 of 10, it's performing the worst. And so, you know, I put out a video the other day. I even contacted a couple other YouTubers, and I'm like, hey, I've got this video. I'm trying to avoid the YouTubery thing, but can you help me with the packaging with this video? Typically, you would want to come up with like package ideas before you even start the video, so you know the video is going to perform well, but I've been trying to avoid that. And then, you know, between all the conversations, we come up with like this, what I got some amazing feedback from these guys, and then put out the video, and then it's an 8 of 10. And an 8 of 10, my last 10 videos are basically lower than the previous 100 videos because of this new style. So 8 of 10 is just like, it hurts so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there is still, and I changed the packaging to something that I've done in the past, and now that video is starting to shoot up. It's so weird how thumbnails, it's the same video, but the thumbnails and titles have a huge impact on the video. But yeah, what I didn't talk about is it still feels like failure. It's still really hard to not see the same numbers that I used to, when I feel like I am putting out the best videos I have ever made, and I'm making some of the best things that I ever made.
Well, I tell everybody, when we all started 10 plus years ago, there was hundreds of guys doing in this space. There's hundreds of people in the space. Now there's thousands and thousands of people in the space. So the same eyeballs have to watch the same amount of content. So it's logical that the views are down. And that being said, you know, I've talked about this to the point of annoyance, where I'm just going to keep making what I do, adding to my library. The one thing I changed this year is because I feel them a little bit more licensable. I've always just added, now this in the year of 2024, I've added, every video I do has a voiceover. I used to reserve that only for Patreon, but now I'm doing explanation, and it feels the videos are a little bit more complete. Plus, I also feel like they bridge the gap between me and my audience. In the beginning, I was just trying to go viral all the time, just trying to do that. And a lot of it worked. And I have about 80 plus videos, over 1 million views. And that worked at the time. And now I feel a more intimate relationship with, obviously, you guys and everybody that listens to this and the audience itself. Like, I don't get negative comments anymore. Usually it's just like everybody hanging out, which is really nice. But now my goal is, if I can get 100,000, I'm happy, which is a tremendous amount of views. I mean, of a young channel, it's a tremendous amount of views. But, and occasionally I get 200,000. That's really nice.
So when we work on these videos, whether it's a week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks, it consumes all of us for that amount of time. Like, we are all in on these projects. And the videos don't even show how much work actually goes into some of these projects, because you can't have a camera running all the time. And when you're that attached for something for 2 weeks, and that's all you think about, do you still feel the failures when YouTube shows you a 9 of 10? Do you still feel it?
I don't like if I get nervous, so I don't look. And I have a couple of people behind the scenes to me. They'll be like, "Yo, dude, you're two of ten." And I'm like, "Really? I didn't think that was going to perform at all." So I let people tell me if it's success. Okay. If I don't hear from Adam or anybody else behind the scenes, I know that.
I want that.
It's just bumping along. But in general, every time I finish a video and I'm proud of it and I get good reviews from my friends and family and I look at it and I go, all right, another one for the library. That's really what I say. And I know somewhere, somehow, there's going to be a resurgence. And everybody that was 5 years old when we started is now 20, trying to figure out what their career is going to be. And I honestly feel
that's weird to think about.
No, I'm serious. I think that all of our content is really going to have a resurgence. Huh. And did you guys see what I posted the other day? It said that it could be my recommendation. Patrick, the producer, he's giving out so much incredibly valuable information for us. Patrick, the producer, is on Instagram, probably TikTok. He said the other day that all these giant financial firms are saying the future lies in the self-creator, the content creator. That is the future. The next generation that's coming up, I don't know what they are. I don't know what the next few generations are. I'm obviously Generation X, but I don't know what Z and the next few are. They will not watch TV at all. They're not paying for cable. They're not paying for streaming services at all. It's not even a consideration. They don't even just buy on. So all these traditional avenues of watching content are dying. So I think we're all poised for a resurgence. I really do, as long as you just keep hanging on. And each piece of content you make, as long as it's not really timely, you know, the guys do vlogs that are timely in the moment. It's really, I appreciate people that go back and listen to everything we've done. I think we talk about more evergreen concepts, but we're not talking about in the moment, politics, current events. So that's why I think people go back and can enjoy what we say and do, because it's really more of a philosophy. But I feel as long as you're making evergreen content, that'll always be pertinent, information that's going to be pertinent, creative process that's always going to be pertinent to the creator that wants to learn. I really believe that what we're doing is just planting seeds for a bigger payday down the road. All of us, everybody that creates. If you're doing a vlog style, somebody's going to really have to be in love with you to go back and watch, you know, the Casey Neistat stuff, which obviously I think his stuff is always going to be fun to watch. But the minute I click on a podcast or something and I realize they're talking about current events that have passed, I'm like, eh. And so I know that's like a little bit of me, and I know it's probably a lot. So if I can give anybody who's listening advice, just make content that's going to be pertinent information now and forever. Now in the next 20 years.
Some total like behind the scenes stuff. But there was a sponsor that I worked with about a year and a half ago. And actually, I still use their product. And I'm like, I still use this. I should reach out to my agent who handles all that stuff for me and say, hey, we should work with this company again because I'm still using it and I can show the progress over the year and a half. And he's like, great, send me the video that you did. And I sent him the video, and that particular video at that particular time didn't perform very well. And I was like, ah, oh, shoot. Well, here's the video. It didn't perform well, but maybe, you know, maybe people signed up for the service. And he sends it to them and they come back with it. And he's like, yeah, we would like to work with David again. Here's the offer. You know, it was lower than expected. Like the views were lower than expected, or the click-throughs or whatever. This is what we're offering. And so the agent's like, yeah, it's a low number. And I was like, you know what? I need the money right now. I don't know what 2025 is going to take, what it's going to be like. I'll take it. And he's like, okay. And then so we took it. But that's the views going down is a snowball effect because it means less sponsorships. It means less people. If you are selling a product, it means less people seeing that product. So it snowballs.
It's all about the eyeballs. It's all about the eyeballs.
Yeah. And so, you know, that success and the video, and you guys know this, the videos, when you get the 1 of 10, the highs are too high. It's too exciting. And then when you get the lows, it's too depressing. It's too devastating.
I try and maintain a longer term goal. We're like, okay, now I just edit another video. I edit another video.
And I know that's what I should do, but it's really, it's hard to see the future when you're dealing with the current emotion.
Well, and so about that, like 9 of 10 thing, We were talking about this yesterday as well, because the last video I did was the little like wooden tray with the magnetic wood pieces and everything. I thought it was super cool.
You gave me some ideas for that too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. I thought the product was cool. I thought the video was fun, and it has done pretty poorly. And now it's 8 of 10, but up until yesterday, it was 9 of 10 the whole time. And so when you look at that number, that comparison point, you're like, that's terrible. 9 of 10? That's like almost as bad as it could be. That's actually a really terrible, incomplete way to look at that. Because then when I actually click through that and I looked at the numbers, videos of that list, of those 10 things, 5 to 10... the last five are within 10,000 views of each other.
Right.
That's like, you know, a watch party, a bunch of people get together and then they could move it from 8 to 5. I mean, it's not like it's a small variation, but when you break it down to such a simple metric,
it's a dangerous metric.
It's not useful. And it's actually, I think in our case,
that's why I don't
if
look.
That's all you see, it's bad. It makes you feel like it's way anymore. Worse than, it's than, hard. It actually
let's
is.
Not look for a couple months. I never look, but let's all not look for a couple of months and just see how easy life gets.
I mean, there is value in knowing that it's not performing up to how things have done lately. But I think that's a really, that simple first thing you see on the dashboard, that is the first piece of information you get in the list.
Well, you know what you do? You just don't click.
It's really incomplete.
Don't click on your dashboard. I have very, very developed very, very skilled ways of clicking through Studio without looking at anything important. I go right to content if I have to change the description or something like that.
Well, speaking of, so I mentioned a couple weeks ago, like, you know, it'd be nice if we could turn off comments so you could look at the dashboard and everything like that. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, sent me a Chrome extension that hides comments. And so you can like actually hide the comments, but it only does that on the front end. It doesn't do that in Studio. I tried it out. And
You have to get you can get CSS blockers, and then you can always say block at this block with this particular CSS name. And
you could do that.
I am really good. I mean, food is the one thing I struggle with, but I'm really good at literally just like switching something off and seeing it directly in front of me.
That's what I want, Jimmy. That's what teach me the way.
I did it with alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. I literally one day I just said, I shouldn't smoke anymore. And I never smoked again. I was like, what did you do? I go, I just stopped smoking.
I just stopped.
How did you do it?
I love that analytics are in the same list with alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes.
It is. It is when you do something and it gives you gives you agita, which is I don't know a Long Island term for a turns your stomach. Don't do it.
Yeah.
When there's a person that irks you, ekes you every time you get into a conversation with them, just don't call them anymore. Still talk to them, and you just got to put blinders on. It's a disciplined behavior. Practice it.
Yeah.
Just stop looking at the analytics and life will be easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I have noticed that I'll have the kind of dashboard, the YouTube stuff up for the first couple of days. And then after that, I'll close it because it doesn't, you can make change early on. If you see something's not doing well, you can change the thumbnail, change the title, and you might see a difference. I mean, we rarely see any improvement when we do that, but you can. But after a little while, those changes will not have any effect. Or I've never seen have an effect.
No,
maybe other
really.
People have
not
know how
really.
To do that. So, you know,
I hardly ever see action reaction, like change the thumbnail, all of a sudden it bumps. It very almost never happens. I mean, it has happened, but it's not like an action reaction every time. You try, I mean, it's whatever. So it's whatever. I don't. I just make videos for my library. One day I'm going to sell my whole catalog and I'm just going to coast.
Yeah, I wish I had that confidence. I truly do wish that I believed that about the things that I make, but I don't. I don't think that my catalog is I'm not going to say interesting enough, but I don't think it has a place to be useful in the way that you're talking.
Come on now, Bob.
That's me. That's not me talking down about myself or anything like that.
Come on now, Bob.
No, the reality of like where it would go, because the the stuff that I've made is so broad and unrelated, and that's been one of my issues since the very beginning, is that it's not this thing for these people. It's like, hey, I'm interested in this today, so we're going to do this. But it makes the spread thin and wide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to take that at library and be like, hey, would you like a library of... It's like, here's a bucket that's full of nails and buttons and pennies and, you know, and you just keep adding to the list.
I'm going to blow your mind. I'm going to blow your mind.
Why would I want all of those things in one bucket?
Because of the person that put the bucket together.
Yeah, I just don't buy that.
I'm dead serious. Well, Bob, you got to start to look in the mirror and say that you are a good person, that people like you.
I am a good person. I'm not. That has nothing to do with it.
See, I'm going to do Jack Handy thoughts. I am good and people like me.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I'm smart enough.
I'm half joking, but I'm dead serious. The catalog is what it is, not because of the content, but because of the motivation you push to do, you motivate. How many people came up to each one of us and said, you've changed my life because you decided to do this, so I decided to do this. It has nothing to do with making the Lego strainer or making the room. It's because of you deciding to do what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And the net result of the videos, which is fine, which is the tangible evidence, but you saying to yourself, I'm going to change my life. And that's why your videos and your content are important. Okay, Bob, your turn.
I will watch a Peter McKinnon
Bob
video.
Just rolled his eyes. Yeah. I'm telling you, Bob.
I'm not rolling my eyes.
You're a celebrity in that way. And I don't mean like a celebrity like J-Lo. I'm saying, you know, you've done what a very small portion of the people have done is you've decided to share your life with people. And because you share your life with people, it makes people change their lives or just become good friends with people or whatever. But, you know, we have obviously become friends because we've shared our lives similarly. But how many people have you motivated to up and out from whatever they want to change? Or they, life is great, but I also want to add to it. I want to do this too, because Bob showed me that I could do it. Yeah. And so it's not all about changing someone's level of dissatisfaction with themselves. It's just, you're enlightening people, whether that's a life change or whether that's a life add-on. And that's really what the value of your catalog is.
Hmm. Well, and I
not
appreciate
necessarily,
that.
Not necessarily what glue to use for joints.
Right,
or,
yeah. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying at all.
You got to take more of a 1,000-mile view of what you're doing versus
what this, I'm disagreeing versus that, with versus this. Or what I'm not confident in is that is a marketable... as a library, as a final result, I guess I'm done with this job and here's everything I did. Does anybody want to buy this or use this in a way to continue to make effect on people? I'm not confident that is there, that like I can hand this off for it to continue on without me weekly being like, hey guys, look, I made a thing. Hey guys, hey everybody, look at me. Look, that's what we have to do right now to be, you know, in the most minimum way present within social media. I mean, it's what everybody has to do, is you have to be like, hey, look what I did. Hey, look what I did. And there are artists, there are musicians whose work will live forever without them telling anybody about it because it's just so good. And it's so, we listened to Van Morrison last night for like 30 minutes. Like, I don't know why. It was just on. But it was on for like 30 minutes. Not because Van Morrison showed up at my house and was like, hey, look what I did. Look, I put a song out 30 years ago or whatever. So I guess my disagreement is just that I'm not confident in my own, this is just stopping at me, not talking about anybody else, in the longevity of effect that the things that I do now for YouTube, this is what I'm only one I'm talking about. I'm not confident that is a long-term sellable library thing, which changes, I think, a little bit the way that I look at each one of the things that I do. You know, I don't look at this video as this one is going to be as useful or will have a general context in 20 years. I just, I don't know. I wish that I had that confidence that you're talking about.
Mr. Ed, where the talking horse in black and white is still findable online as an audience. I'm saying there's going to be an audience forever for everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's tiny or large. You know, we're not Led Zeppelin. We're not going to fill arenas with what we do. But we're going to be able to have a living based on what we do. And it's not, you know, it's about creating content, enjoying our lives, making something that we find is fun and creative and shareable, and we could derive an income from at the same time.
Yeah, and that's like right now, what you just said, and that's what I feel like that's what I'm doing. Yep. And I wish that I had the long-term view. All I'm saying is I wish I had the same long-term view about my content that you have about yours.
I'm going to send you some cool Jack Handy. Deep thoughts.
Anyway, okay. But I'm telling you, were going to say something like 10 minutes ago, and we stomped on what you were saying. Do you remember what
Bob?
It was? No, David.
I was just going to say, there are certain creators that I watch just because I like the way they approach life or the way they make videos, and I find it entertaining, or I feel like it pushes me forward. Like Peter McKinnon, I will watch every video, even if he's like, today we're going to do this Lightroom tutorial. I'm like, I don't really need this Lightroom tutorial, but I'm going to watch him do it because I like the way he does it. You know, same Andrew Wong. Maybe a new product comes out and they're paying him to talk about a new keyboard or whatever. I'm not going to buy that keyboard, but I'm going to watch Andrew's video because I like the way he does it. And so I want that connection with the with my core audience. You know, Pat Flynn calls it the true fans. You know, I want that connection. I want people to watch me because it's me, and hopefully I'm encouraging them to get a little creative. And I don't know. It made more sense when I was trying to speak at that time. But people watch us for us. And the people listening to this podcast are probably our super fans. They will watch every single one of Bob's videos or every single one of Jimmy's videos because they're super fans. So they're like, what are you guys talking about? I watch every one of your videos. But it's the people outside of the circle who are kind of picking and choosing. And
yeah.
This is still the greatest thing I have ever done. This is still absolutely mind-blowing that I get to do this. I mean, I'm basically, because of supporters, I'm getting paid to speak about my silly opinions for an hour and a half because of Patreon supporters. Next week, I am taking a suitcase that I got from the Goodwill, and I'm turning it into a structural sculpture thing that I don't even know how to explain it. And I get to do that for a living. That's freaking mind-blowing that I still get to do that.
Yeah. That's, and being reminded of that, how unreal it is that we get to do what we do, is a really good temper against all of the, man, I wish this thing had done better. Man, I wish that this had turned out differently. Man, I wish I had this sponsor. All of those things that, you know, we think about all the time that feel negative or feel lacking or whatever, the opposite perspective of like, holy crap, like, look at my weird job. Look how I get to
look at
do
my
this.
Weird job. Yes.
I got a thing the other day saying that my 30th high school reunion is coming up, and like, they were inviting me to the Facebook group. And I mean, I have nothing against the people I went to high school with, but I don't know many of them. And high school was not my favorite time in life. And I thought immediately about like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to like go back and see some
look
of them.
At me
and then
now.
I thought about no. Then I thought about every single one of them individually is gonna ask me what I do for work.
Just and so I'm you like, don't have a job, that's all.
I'm not going. I don't explain it. I don't wanna have to say it. I don't wanna
When people say how do you make money on YouTube, just say I don't.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I don't. You got $5?
So I am on the board of directors for a nonprofit company here in town. Basically, weird flex, Pachuto. Basically, it's a maker space. It's a woodworking shop, and you can pay to buy time, take classes, and use the shop for what you will. But they've started this side thing for it's most right now it's just for veterans, but they're going to open it up to other groups of people. But so right now it's veterans can join for free, and so this nonprofit thing that just started here, and I'm on the board of directors, and every month there's a meeting. And I remember the first one, we all around the conference table, and we're introducing ourselves and what we do. And there's a lawyer, somebody who owns like a whole fleet of car washes, and another person who real jobs. And then it got to me, and I'm like, I make woodworking videos on YouTube, and I just felt so like I don't belong
here. Unemployed. Unemployed. Yeah. No job. Artist. No job.
Right. It felt so so weird, and I just felt like I didn't belong.
Yeah. I'm with you.
That's all right. Like I said, when the next time somebody says, how do you make money on YouTube? Just go, I don't. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Which is if you find out,
let me know.
I mean, a legitimate answer is, I knew last week, but this week it changed. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it.
Well, any other thoughts on this stuff?
I'll tell in the after show, I'll tell a funny story about a sponsorship and bad comments here.
Yeah.
Oh,
little teaser. Okay.
Somebody once like really threw the I can't remember what the sponsor was. I wouldn't mind saying it, but I don't remember what it was. The sponsor was really checking the comments, and somebody threw them under the bus because it was sort of like an unnecessary product. And I hearted it, and Mark, the agent, called me. He's like, could you please unheart that comment?
Oh, oops.
I was like, he goes, you've hearted like three comments that are negative. He's like, could you please unheart them? I'm like, okay.
That's
petty
funny.
Petty much. I was like, I'm just acknowledging. Basically, when I heart some, I'm acknowledging that I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to not heart the things that just because they're bad.
This last video I did. This is totally inside baseball, but last video the sponsor was Element, which is this little hydration packet, like a mix-in thing that I've been using for a long time. It's good. It's good stuff. It's like healthy and everything. And the company's really cool. They're super laid back. They were easy to work with. And at the bottom of the, like, they give you a PDF with all of the, you know, do's and don'ts, and here's how you do the ad and all that type of stuff. And at the bottom, it had this section that said, if you have negative comments about the product, screenshot them and send them to us. Try to get contact information if you can, because we want to address them individually, or something to that effect. And I'm like, whoa, like, that's awesome. You know, they don't want you to sweep them under the bus. They want to actually deal with trying to make it right for that person. I thought that was really cool. Just kind of added to why I like them. But anyway, cool. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters because they're awesome. Because all of the ups and downs of this business that we're in, all of the sponsors that come and go, all of the views that go up and down and in and out, and the changes that happen, the Patreon supporters are a stable thing in that. Even if they change, the fact that there are people there to support what we do makes all of that other flux a little bit easier to deal with. So, and that's legitimate. That's not me just like blowing smoke. I'm truly grateful for the people that support us on Patreon. Especially the people that go above and beyond. They pay more than they need to for this show to support us because they like what we do, and I'm really grateful. Nick Ryan, Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Mancrafting, Chad's Custom Creations, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leather Goods, Sean Beckner, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Warren Works, Michael Menegin, Crabtree Creative, and Matthias Garnow.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, guys. I know almost all those guys. Thank you very much.
And there's a bunch of other people that are at other levels and stuff. We have a lot of people who help out the show with a dollar, you know, and it still matters. It's still awesome. So thank you to every single one of them for the support. If you want to get the after show, if you want to join that crew, support the show and get the after show, which is where we tell secret stuff and things. Oh, look who it is.
Kelly had to stop home.
Hey, hi, everybody. Kelly.
Good to see you. It's been a long time.
Been a long time. Hi, Kelly.
I have to go.
She probably can't hear what we're saying.
She can. Yeah.
No. They say hello.
I'll tell her I said hi.
And happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Thank
yes.
You. I was like, man, they're not going to talk to
me. Sorry.
Yeah, but if you want to get the after show, if you want to, you know, say hi to Kelly, maybe we'll put that in there. You can go to patreon.com/makingit and help out the show. We would really appreciate it.
And we can talk about what Jimmy's shirt is about.
Oh, Butt Joints. I wish I could remember his name specifically, but Butt Joints is a content creator. Yeah, I got this at the go-kart event. People give me shirts, and I literally wear every one of them at least once, sometimes more. Like, every video I make in this whole the whole summer, I'm wearing a Shadow Foam shirt because it just happens to be comfortable. And it's like you become, like, accustomed to one shirt until you burn a hole in it with the grinder, or you get a big smattering of, like, resin on the edge, and it's like, that goes into the rag bin.
We should talk about that more in the after show, because I have thoughts that maybe are not popular.
Come to the after show for the unpopular comments.
Yeah.
So it's a right. It's a Butt Joints. I wish I could remember your name, buddy. I'm just drawing a blank.
ButtJoints.com. All right, what you got?
ButtJoints.com. Check out, this really pertains to what we're doing. You guys both, you guys have strict homework. Go look at Patrick, the producer, and I think you'll have a more positive outlook for a long-term view of what we're doing. Could you imagine we've been planting seeds for 10 plus years, and then all of a sudden we're going to explode, everybody that does what we do? The new group of kids do not care about paying for TV. They're only online. And there's going to be creative crafter people coming up for the next millions of generations. And they're going to have to look at content.
That's a lot of generations.
So check out Patrick, the producer, who gives a lot of insight as to what's going on. He's becoming the spokesperson because he's just outspoken. He talks about a lot of things, but he also is smart enough to do the research and he's always posting stuff, and so the world of TV is changing fast.
There's
nowhere to go but to us. Go ahead.
There's a couple of Patrick producer Instagrams. Is he the TV executive producer?
He's a. I'm not sure. I'll send it to you guys. I'll look it up before we finish. And then I also just want to say one thing while I have the microphone. I have nothing to do with Maker Faire anymore. They don't invite me. I don't know what's going on because I've had fans asking me, are you going to be there? Are you going to be there? I have no idea when it is. I don't talk to anybody there anymore. I don't know anybody there anymore. I'm not involved anymore. And that's simply because, and this is the reason why, they never email me anymore. That's it. Because
at least you're not bitter about it.
No, I'm just... Because people are like, they think I'm on the board of directors. They think I know like every move. Like, why is it two Maker Faires? What have we got? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm assuming you guys don't hear from them either.
No. Bob's wearing a sweatshirt right now.
Okay. Take it off. I have a butt joint hoodie for you right now.
I think we could talk about that in the after show too. I think I know why that is. And I don't think it's anything sinister.
I think they're just looking at new creators, really, is all it is. We're just old and useless to them. That's all.
No, I don't even think it's that. Anyway, David, you have something to recommend?
Bob's shutting me up.
No, I'm not shutting you up. I'm shutting myself up.
After show, so.
Yes. This video might not even belong on YouTube because it's probably stolen. I apologize, but I watched it and it was amazing. It's called Frank Gehry, the Architect. And it's from a BBC show that probably some random dude threw up on his YouTube channel. But I watched it and it was awesome. Frank Gehry is just amazing. He's just got a weird mind as far as like how architecture should look. All his buildings are crazy. So there's that one. And then Bob, if you need one, Padula Studio put out a video of this just stunning whiskey cabinet thing. And he put out the video the same day as I put out my video. And we both mentioned in our videos about creating for ourselves and not for YouTube. And I just thought that was, that's that's interesting that we both said the same thing in our videos and released them on the same day. What he does is just, it's what I want to be as a woodworker and artist.
Hmm. Well, okay. We'll have to check that out.
Don't steal videos and put it on YouTube, kids. Please don't do that.
Yeah, it's bad.
I had it wrong. Producer Patrick. Patrick Caligari. Anyway, I sent it to you guys. Sorry.
The other day, my aunt sent me a TikTok, and she was like, "Is this you?" And it was one of my videos on TikTok with some other very, very strange audio over top of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, no. I mean, yeah, but no. It's not me. I'm not sure how that." She was like, "Oh, well, I've been watching this channel, and they just have a lot of your videos. I thought it was you." I'm like, "No." Anyway. So mine is actually somebody I've talked about before. CT Moog is his channel name, and he's a guy that works on cars. And I have no idea what his background is, so I don't know, you know, how he knows how to work on cars. But he works on a lot of different cars, and he's been working on a car in Kia. What's really weird is that he... The same time I started digging into doing the front end, he had just done, I was working on it, and he released his video of doing the same work on the front end. Now he's releasing videos doing the back end, whereas I'm about to jump into doing the same pieces of the back end. And I've talked to him in comments and stuff a few times, but it's really cool to be able to actually see somebody do the work, literally the work on the same car that I'm about to do on the same car. And so I'm watching, you know, somebody preview the work that I'm about to get into. And it's really helpful to me. But also, I actually want people to just watch his videos because I know that when I do work on the Ghia, I want people to watch it. And when the views are not as high as I would like them to be, it's frustrating for me. And he has lower views than I do, but he does a lot of really cool stuff. And he's teaching a lot of about... He's trying to figure it out, just like I am, but... I want people to watch him to raise his views, to encourage him to continue to do what he's doing because it's helping me. You know what I mean? So, and he works on a bunch of different cars. It's not just a Ghia. So go check out CT. And I had another one and now I don't remember what
you had
it was.
None and now you got two of them.
Yeah. Well, one was leftover. That one. I mean, I've talked about him before and I don't know what the other one was. So,
all right.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Cool. Well, you guys got anything else for this week?
No. Did I talk about Maker Faire yet?
Yeah, you did. Go for it. But yes, you did.
No, I'm not invited.
Oh, you didn't mention that. cool. Well, I hope you both have awesome times on your trips.
Thank you.
Jimmy,
thank
you, don't get you. Stolen in Sweden. I don't know how things work in Sweden, but don't get stolen. I've been come fiddling, back to us.
I've been fiddling with my phone, going back. Rachel made the arrangements, and she said, "Oh, my God, I need certain information, blah, blah, blah." She's like, we might not have a flight. That was about 15 minutes ago, so you keep seeing me fiddle with my phone. But she just sent me that everything's okay now. She needed information pertaining to the credit card, maiden names and that type of stuff. So I just said, "Am I getting hacked?" And she said, "No, there's an issue with the flight. I'm trying to sort it out." But she just said, "Everything's okay. Oh my God, I almost died." That's what she said.
What's your maiden name? Well, you don't have to
say my maiden name. My maiden name is I forget.
Pachudo. Anyway, cool. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
Love you.